Okay, so our next presenter is Dr. Jean Hall from the University of Kansas. She is the director of the Institute for Health and Disability Policy Studies and an associate research professor at the University of Kansas and the University of Kansas Medical Center, Department of Health Policy and Management. Dr. Hall's research has included private, state, and federal projects related to health care and employment for people with disabilities or chronic illnesses in the employment, Medicaid, Medicare, and high-risk pool systems. Dr. Hall has recently completed a 10-year evaluation of the Kansas Medicaid buy-in program and is directing a federal project to examine the nexus of disability, health, and employment. She is also studying the federal pre-existing condition insurance plan, a temporary high-risk health insurance program established under the Affordable Care Act. I introduce Dr. Jean Hall.
We're just messing with you because I'm not supposed to be second, but keeping you on your toes. I'm going to talk some a little bit different than Barbara about one specific part of the ACA, particularly the Medicaid expansion, and how the Medicaid expansion allows people with disabilities to accumulate assets, which can in turn potentially improve their health and employment outcomes. And my co-authors and I have no relationships to disclose. Legally, we were supposed to do that.
I forgot. I had nothing to disclose. I apologize.
Give her another drink.
So as you heard, I and my co-authors have been evaluators of the Kansas Medicaid buy-in program called Working Healthy since its inception back in 2002. So we've really been following this group for a long time, know a lot about their health, their earnings, their quality of life, and their health expenditures over time, and we've done an annual survey with them every year, and in 2012 we thought to ask about assets, and I'll talk some more about that in just a minute. So Working Healthy is a Medicaid buy-ins in general are a work incentive program that was established under the Ticket to Work and Work Incentives Improvement Act or under the Balanced Budget Act. 45 states run these nationally, and they are a work incentive program because they allow people with disabilities to earn or earn more and not lose their Medicaid eligibility. So it's a really important program. In Kansas, to be eligible for the buy-in, you have to be between the ages of 16 and 64. You can have income up to 300% of federal poverty level, but with disregards, that approaches $50,000 a year. So it really does allow you to earn quite a bit. When your income exceeds 100% of federal poverty level, you begin to pay a premium for your Medicaid. In Kansas, assets are capped at $15,000. That varies from state to state. A person has to meet the Social Security Administration disability standard, have verified earned income from competitive employment, and in Kansas, be a Kansas resident. So as I said, we did surveys with the buy-in enrollees annually, and today I'm going to be talking about demographics and particularly quality of life using the World Health Organization Quality of Life Instrument and the SF-12 to look at mental health and physical health status. Just to give you an idea of who's in the Kansas buy-in, as of December of last year, we had almost 1,300 enrollees. Average age was about 47 years, roughly half and half, male and female, predominantly white in Kansas, predominantly non-Hispanic, mostly single. Very few have children under the age of 19. More than half, though, have at least some college, which is a pretty well-educated population. Average wage is $9 an hour, and most people work part-time about 17 hours a week, all put together for an average annual income of about $6,800 a year, which is not a lot of money, but it's better than living on SSI. And when we look at self-reported disabilities, these are primary disabilities self-reported by enrollees. You can see that mental illness is the single largest group, followed by physical disability and traumatic brain injury, chronic illnesses, intellectual disabilities, and sensory disabilities. And we know over time that people in the program have consistently told us that their financial status has improved and their independence has increased since they've been in the buy-in. So we know that the program is doing what it was supposed to do as far as letting people have some more disposable income and still keep their Medicaid to maintain their health. We also know from comments that we get that working is just such a positive experience for them. They feel like they're contributing to the economy. They have some disposable money. They don't have to worry about paying for their meds. Self-esteem is improved. Stress is low. My illnesses are stabilized. So we know this has been a good program. And as I said, over the years, we also heard stories about how having money in the bank helped people cope with things like emergency car repairs, offsetting low earnings months when they had seasonal employment, and just feeling a little more secure. We have a lot of people who had been homeless in the past, and now they have some money in the bank, and that makes them feel better. But we really wanted to explore a little bit more what having assets means as far as people's quality of life and their health and their employment. So just to make sure everyone knows, categorical eligibility under disability for Medicaid, assets are capped at $2,000. So you have to be impoverished to keep your Medicaid. Most Medicaid buy-in programs allow a little bit more than that, and we wanted to see how many people in our buy-in program had assets more than $2,000. So we asked that question, and then we looked at some other characteristics of those individuals who had assets more than $2,000. PCS score is physical component summary score, and MCS score is mental component summary score of the SF-12. And we found significantly higher scores among participants with assets greater than $2,000, that kind of middle column over there. So we know that assets were associated with better physical health and better mental health. And when we asked about quality of life, more than 80% reported good or very good quality of life among those with assets more than $2,000, compared to about 50 or 60% of those with assets less than $2,000. Then we looked at who has the higher assets. Well, more men than women. And surprisingly to me, at least, people who are younger were more likely to have higher assets. And that actually maybe shouldn't have been so surprising to me, because what we've found in the past is that, and this is nationally, not just in Kansas, that younger participants in Medicaid buy-in programs actually tend to have higher income. And we don't know if that's because there are people who get on to Social Security disability later in life have more severe disabilities. I don't know. I don't know the rationale behind that, but I know that it's true, and it's interesting because they're also accumulating more assets. And then by disability type, people with intellectual disabilities were most likely to have assets greater than $2,000. People with physical disabilities were least likely. And I know there's a lot of text on this slide, so I'm going to go through it. And this is kind of just in a nutshell. Those with assets more than $2,000 had better mental health, physical health, quality of life scores. Age is negatively correlated with having assets more than $2,000. Males, people with intellectual disabilities, more likely. What was interesting to me is that education, race, ethnicity, monthly earnings, and length of enrollment in the buy-in were not significantly associated with different levels of assets. So it's not because someone's better educated. It's not because they're of a particular race or ethnicity. It's not even based on how much they earn. It's a separate piece of people who are putting money in the bank and having that security. And I think what's really important is that the Medicaid expansion in those 26 states that have decided to do it doesn't look at assets. Assets are not considered in determining eligibility for Medicaid coverage, and that's a whole new world for people with disabilities. As I said, there's 45 Medicaid buy-in programs in the country, and I was able to find information about assets in a lot of them. So four Medicaid buy-in programs have the same asset limits as regular Medicaid, but 29 states have it at another level. Four states impose no limits. I think Massachusetts might be one of them. In Kansas, let me back up just a second. So these Medicaid buy-in programs are an optional eligibility group under Medicaid. There's been a lot of fear among advocates and people who work on the buy-ins that they might cease to exist sometime post ACA implementation because their perception is there's not a need for them anymore, or they're too expensive, or whatever. In Kansas, 94% of our enrollees earn less than 138% of federal poverty level, which is the cutoff for the Medicaid expansion. And nationally, it's about the same story. National average earnings are a little bit higher than they are in Kansas, but most people are still well under that 138% threshold. And as Barbara was saying, a lot of those people that are going to go on to Medicaid expansion have disabilities, just not Social Security disabilities, and I think the Medicaid expansion has the potential to divert a lot of those younger people who already have higher assets anyway and might not get onto categorical Medicaid to stay off of federal disability programs. And to me, that's very exciting. So that third bullet, especially for younger individuals who are already accumulating assets, here's a way to completely avoid that whole SSI, SSDI process and be able to earn money and not be penalized for it. So, and what we've seen over time with our population is that having that money in the bank, having that security, having the peace of mind of knowing that you're not going to be homeless tomorrow if you lose your job really does make a difference in quality of life, and it seems to be associated with improved health as well. So that's the end of my presentation. I want to thank our NIDA project officer and the director of our Medicaid buy-in program and our colleagues. And I also want to say that this presentation is dedicated to Alan Jensen, who unfortunately died earlier this year. And since I still have the microphone and I haven't gotten a timeout, I want to say that out on the table outside the door here, we put some flyers. The Journal of Disability Policy Studies is having a special issue on the ACA and people with disabilities. Manuscripts are due by December 1st, but if you have something, you might contact the editor and let him know. Yeah, it's him. And also, there's flyers out there about the Academy Health Disability Research Interest Group, which I hope a lot of you would be interested in. We are looking for new members on the executive committee, and I really encourage you to participate if you can. So thank you.